Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We appreciate you so much. Father, we ask that you bless us with wisdom and faith and, yes, encouragement for the times to come. Because it's good news that you share. Good news. And we thank you, Father. Yes, there's a shaking coming, but it's going to have its desired effect, as you've shown us over and over in the Word. And we just thank you for the results. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk to you about judgment and return from captivity. As we know, this has a broader picture of many who have gone into captivity to factious religious groups and factioning Christianity into many, many pieces. And then we have our local faction that's attempting to bring down what's necessary and needed to bring people out of captivity. So, but all of it's going to have its desired effect. The Lord is sovereign over all things, and He uses all things together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. So, I'm going to share Matthew Stewart's revelation here that he had on 7/23. And he said, "The dream started like this. I was in my father's house and my grandfather passed away and left my dad and I an inheritance. But my dad did not know where it was because my grandfather hid it." Well, you know, our forefathers in the faith who have passed away hid many treasures in scriptures for us to find. The Lord God did it through them. Of course, I haven't found them all by far, so we better keep looking. And it's the glory of God to conceal a thing and the glory of kings to search it out. You know, our fathers, you know, who we first came into the faith in, many times stopped short of finding these treasures. They were religious, most of them. I was in a religion at the beginning, and I know that they were, you know, plateaued. They weren't going anywhere. They're basically going around in a circle, and they couldn't find the treasure. I went looking for myself because the Lord put such a hunger in me to look for that treasure. And I found a bunch of wonderful things. And I'm sure that there's a whole lot left to find, right? So then Matt said, I went looking for it. Looking for that treasure, that inheritance, right? I went down to the basement, which is where we all ought to start at the things that are important as far as foundation is concerned. Then I noticed that there was a hidden door in the floor. So there's something hidden. There is an inheritance treasure hidden that many don't find out about because all they do is go to church and listen to the preacher, and the preacher never found it either. All he did was get it from second hand, third hand, fourth hand, fifth hand, on down the road. And by that time, it's not anything much left of it, you know. So I went over and opened the door, and there was another secret compartment. So I opened that door, which was smaller than the other door. And I found the inheritance in a treasure box. And he says, "The treasure is the word and kingdom." Yes, I agree with that. And his text was Matthew 13 and 44. Through 46. "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and in his joy he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a merchant seeking goodly pearls. And having found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Notice the common theme here is sold all that he had. There is really nothing in this world that can promote us our future life in the kingdom, which is forever. There's only one reason we're here, is to come into this inheritance so that we can have the life of Christ in the future forever. And you know it's given out 30, 60, and 100-fold, so would you like to live forever with that 100-fold? Or would you like to do with the 30-fold? Or would you be a religious person and not bother even to make it that far? So there's only one thing important, as we said recently. There's only one thing important, you know, is to find that treasure. It is hidden on purpose. The Lord hides things from the wise and prudent, and he reveals them unto babes. We have to come to him like a child, asking questions, lots of questions, and listening for his answers. I thought about Proverbs 2 and 1 through 5. It says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou cry after discernment," there it is, "and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." You know, God started me on a trek of finding treasures when I first came into the kingdom, because I was hungry for those things and I didn't perceive them in my small association with religion. I didn't perceive them. I just looked and I found wonderful, wonderful treasures. And I sought them. And I asked the Lord much in those days, "Lord, I want the truth." I saw people going in so many different directions, you know, people that even went to school with me and they were caught up in religion and they, you know, off on this tangent and that tangent. And I cried out to the Lord, "I want to know the truth, Lord." And it was in those days that the Lord began to give me word of knowledge and wisdom concerning Scripture and concerning doctrines and concerning things like that. And I had actually three different people come to me and prophesy. They didn't know one another and told me that actually the words that they had were the same words. "Do you know that the Father, that God has given you word of knowledge and wisdom?" And finally I started saying, "Yes, yes, yes, I'll take it." You know, and sure enough, he started revealing to me through word knowledge and wisdom things that the religions weren't seeing. They were hidden. Only the Holy Spirit could reveal them. So if you cry after it, as this verse says, cry after discernment. Seek it as silver. I prayed. That was my most common prayer in those days. God will show you. He will send you in the right direction. He wants you to want something. He doesn't want you to not value the things that he has to give you. If you value them, he'll give them to you. If you don't value them and you just want them for selfish purposes, like, you know, showing people how smart you are, he's not going to do it. And even if you somebody gives it to you, you'll lose it. I opened the box that had silver and gold in it, and silver and gold spoons and forks. The gold and the silver spoons and forks are the tools for eating the Word. Yes. He told me a lot of tools for eating the Word in the beginning, how to find it and how to not be deceived. He gave me lots of little principles, like the sum of thy words is truth. Don't camp out on something like the religions do, and you have to reject every other verse that comes against it. Wait till you include the whole thing. It's line upon line here, little and there, little. Little things like that the Lord showed me when I was very young in the Lord, how to find truth and not to settle for anything less. I was so excited to tell my dad that I have found the inheritance. You know something? I tried to tell one of my first dads in religion that I'd found some inheritance. And he just didn't believe it because it went beyond that religion. They couldn't accept it. You know, they were so high on being the greatest because of what they understood and what they received, although it was nothing. It was a bare beginning, you know. You know, the inheritance is the promised land, of which our natural man, who is from the earth, is. We've been ruled by the flesh and cut off from God, but we shall rule over that land and have eternal inheritance. Genesis 15 and 7 says, "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee up out of Ur of the Chaldees," in other words, out of Babylon, "to give thee this land." And we all are coming out of Babylon from the time we step foot in the kingdom. We've had religious ideas about God that are not right, and God has to reteach us, right? "To give thee this land, this promised land of milk and honey, blessings, prosperity," so on. "To inherit it," he says. Then Psalm 37 and 9 says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait for the Lord, they shall inherit the land." Well, that's exactly what's happening. We've seen that happen here. We've been given a promised land, and the evildoers have been cut off. They've been scattered because they were hiding sin, and because they passed the love, failed the love test, or whatever, you know. Psalm 37:11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the land and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Well, amen. And Psalm 37:22 says, "For such as are blessed of him shall inherit the land, and they that are cursed of him shall be cut off." Psalm 37:34, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt thee to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Well, I've seen that many times. And also, through the reconciliation that we were given at the cross, there was an exchange of our life for Christ's life. And that Christ's life is our inheritance, promised to us by God. "Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God." In other words, consider it done. Believe the promise, in other words, right? To receive that inheritance of Christ-likeness. Because this is something, what you have and what you receive on earth, what you attain to on earth, is what you're going to have forever. There will be a difference in the body of a 30-fold saint as opposed to a 100-fold saint, of the ability, of the glory, so on and so forth. And we've taught on that, and I'm not going to do that now, but you can find that in our teachings because it's clearly in the Word. Then I felt in my spirit that some people saw me find the treasure and were looking to steal the treasure. Wow, you know, that's been our experience. Actually, the demons and the factious have stolen the treasure from many. You know, many revelations and teachings and so on and so forth. They've done their best to tear it down, either steal the website or destroy what they couldn't steal, or destroy the reputation of the people that are preparing the food so that the food is looked on with little esteem or whatever. And that's just as these people stole the promised land from the Israelites. You know, they always try to destroy the word or that reputation. And they, of course, can lose their eternal inheritance by doing such a thing, because God brings judgment upon that. The death of souls and their blood is on the factious hands. Many of the factious thieves will die for this heinous sin, taking the food away from God's children, destroying the word, the way to eternal life, the way to holiness, the way to righteousness. Some will return, like Paul, who turned from faction to serve God. And he worked harder than all the rest because of his background. And he always felt like he needed to make up for it, for the time that he was in persecuting the saints, right? So that can have a good effect on people, you know. I mean, God knows what we need now for what he's going to do later, right? So Matt said, these people started kidnapping people that I know, family and friends. Well, you know, they've had that experience too, of seeing that happen. And ransomed them for the treasure. So I took 4 or 5 pieces of the treasure with me to set free my family and friends that were kidnapped. Well, I believe this represents to use the treasures of the promises to deliver them out of the hands of their factious captors so that they can be free to search for treasure themselves, right? Amen. And we do that by faith. We do it by prayer. We do it by command. We do it in so many ways. We've been given authority through the Word of God, that wonderful treasure, to learn how to walk as Jesus walked and to do what he does. I went to the kidnappers and always tricked them to set them free, that they got caught and didn't get any of the treasure. And this repeated 4 or 5 times more. And then I woke up. In other words, they didn't get the treasure. All they wanted to do is really destroy it. They can't get the treasure because the demons destroy their minds and the Holy Spirit no longer makes it important or even understandable to them. They don't see the great value in the Word of God anymore. They don't talk about the Word of God. They don't study it anymore. That's what that spirit does to them. So they can't use it. All they want to do, the demons in them actually, is to destroy it, because it's destroying the devil's kingdom. So, Matt said, I asked for a word for the dream and got Daniel 9 and 8. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion. That's the meaning of Babylon, by the way. Confusion of face to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Yes, the judgments that are upon the church today are just because of that. The sins of the parents were passed on unto the children. And, you know, everybody wants to try out mom and dad's religion, and sometimes they get fed up and walk away because they don't find anything in it, really. And I don't blame them. But they're responsible to go seek out their own salvation with fear and trembling so that they can find those precious things that are hidden in the Word. Remember, the so-called fathers that we first belonged to haven't searched these things out. They just took the word of somebody else. And that's very plain. So what is it, and what will be the judgment for this sin? Well, it's written in the Word, and we keep getting it over and over. Here's a text I'll share with you. We've received this many times, which actually means the Lord has more and more to show us about it, you know. And in this particular text, Babylon conquered the apostate factious leadership and blinded them and killed their leadership, taking their people captive, like as spiritually happened with the faction. There are people that are there which are just beguiled by innocence, as Paul said in Romans 16, 17, and 18. They're beguiled. They're just deceived. They need to be set free from captivity. And their leaders don't want to let them go, just like the denominational leaders don't want to let them go. And they use all forms of deception in order to keep them in captivity. So do the factious. So here's the text, Jeremiah 39, 1 through 18. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, he was the apostate leader of the faction against the man-child Jeremiah. And because of his sins and the sins of his people, the beast came to conquer them. And I don't know if you know what this looks like, but initially it's just spiritual. The beast has conquered them. They're given over to the lusts of the flesh and anger and strife and slander and railing and all these kind of things. They've been conquered by the beast. The beast is the flesh. It's the old man. It's the old life. It's the carnal mind, you know. They've been conquered. But that's not all, because when you get conquered by that beast, you got a chastening coming. So there's something more physical coming down the road. In the 10th month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem. This is apostate Jerusalem, not born from above Jerusalem. Against all his army against Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, the 9th day of the month, a breach was made in the city. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, to wit, Nergal, Sharezer, Shamgar, Nebo, Sarashabim, Rabsaris, Nergal, Sharezer, Rabmag. You're doing pretty good, Anna, with all the rest of the princes of the king of Babylon. Oh, so they came and sat in the gate, thumbing their nose at everybody. Huh? We got you now. And so the beast conquered the faction who had falsely imprisoned the man-child Jeremiah, like the harlot imprisoned Joseph and Jesus, by the way. You know, you just look for these little symbols along the way. You can see, oh, this is just like that. This is just like that. You know, you see that God is repeating the story, you know, in a different parable, you know. He's in control of history, right? And in verse 4, and it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, that they fled. They went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, through the gate betwixt the two walls. And he went out towards the Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. Yes, people do fall into faction, and they think that they can conquer the beast, but they don't understand. It's kind of like Samson. You know, their hair was cut. Their submission to God was cut off, and they didn't know it. They lost their strength. They had no ability to stand before the beast. So they overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath. And he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Well, now here's another little parable. You can find other places in the Bible. It's like Haman. His sons were killed in his faction against Mordecai, who was the man-child. Mordecai means little man or man-child, and the people of God. So Haman factioned against the people of God, and he was killed, and his sons were killed. So it goes on to say, and also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah, all the leadership of the tribes, right? Underneath this factious leadership. All the leadership under the apostates died in their sins, right? Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes. There you see again, loss of the eyes, right? And bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. So the beast blinds the eyes of the factious leadership, and they are ejected from the bride city. You know, Jerusalem goes through a death, burial, and resurrection. When you look about at the righteous life that in some points was in Jerusalem, and how God protected it from its enemies and from the beast and the Assyrian beast and so on and so forth, you're seeing born again Jerusalem. But when you see this, you're seeing apostate, fallen Jerusalem. Just as individuals go through these stages, corporately the people of God go through these stages, you see. So you pick out the parable and you see what God's saying there, right? Verse 8, and the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. So there was no sanctification, right? Which means separation from sin. Or separation from the beastly flesh, right? As you can see, the beastly flesh conquered them. And there's none of that for the apostates. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the residue of the people that remained in the city, and the deserters also that fell away to him, and the residue of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people that had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Well, this is a type and a shadow, because we know who the poor are. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're taking the kingdom. What was the representation of the kingdom of heaven in the Old Testament? Well, it was best represented and repeated by God as David ruled in Jerusalem, which ruled over the 12 tribes, etc. It was best represented by that and mentioned many times. The kingdom. Who's going to take the kingdom? The righteous. Who's going to be cut off from the land? The wicked. Amen. So when they fell and became the wicked, they had to be taken from the land, taken from the inheritance. Don't you see? They lose their inheritance. You want to lose your inheritance? It's been passed on to you through the Father, Jesus, the early disciples, etc. Well, all you got to do is just disobey. You'll find out what it is to lose your inheritance. You won't have boldness anymore because your heart condemns you, right? Mm-hmm. I've known people who have lost wives because they had no faith, because their heart condemned them. They couldn't have any faith. Then they blamed it on everybody else. I've known people that lost many benefits of the kingdom and because of their own unbelief. Now, I'm still traveling in the same text here, but this particular part of the text Don Laughlin received in our morning meeting on the 10th. And that's verse 11. And let's see, 11, 12, etc. Okay. Now, Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah. Jeremiah here was the man child. And this is the point where he actually came into his inheritance, because here is where the meaning of Jeremiah, which means Yahweh will exalt. Who does he exalt? Those who are humbled. Don't begrudge being humbled. It's the way to being exalted according to the Lord, right? Yahweh will exalt. And this is where it starts to come to pass. Because to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. So he was delivered out of the prison that the faction had thrown him in. He was now resurrected, spiritually speaking, here. And this verse 12, the same day, Eve got this verse, the same day, same verse. What's the chances of that? And here the captain of the guard, who is supposedly the enemy of God's people, you know, God's in control of everything, folks, everything. He was told, take him and look well to him and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say. In other words, Jeremiah here, the man-child's come out of prison, and he's got authority now. And this is actually where Eve's finger fell, right here. As he shall say unto thee. Oh, wow. As he shall say. What does that mean? Well, it means what Jeremiah said went. What he said goes. He had authority. The David man-childs will have authority over the deep state troops who have to do to them as they say. And they can do them no harm. You see, God's going to protect whoever these people are. He is going to protect them and bless them and give them authority. Remember how many times the harlot tried to capture Jesus and he passed right through their midst? 3 times I counted. He seemed to be translated at least once, maybe twice. They couldn't take him. His time was not yet, he said, right? And no man takes my life. I lay it down. So he laid it down, but nobody could take it. So he had authority. And their actions, that is deep state or the Babylonish institution, right? And their actions against the faction will set the man-childs free from captivity. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And these people are going to have authority, especially when they reach this resurrection life. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebushazban, Rabsaris and Nergal Sarezer and Rabmag and all the chief officers of the king of Babylon, they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the guard, like the man-childs Joseph and Daniel and Jesus came out of prison to rule. So you see, God's telling us the same story here. And committed him to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home, so he dwelt among the people. And in fact, actually, in the other recording of this, he asked him what he wanted to do. He could go with them to Babylon. He could stay here. He could go with the people. He could do whatever he wanted to do. That's what he told him. And what Jeremiah chose, that's what happened. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the guard, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian. This man who spoke against the faction in favor of the man-child Jeremiah. And you know what the Bible says, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. He said, go and speak to this man, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil. He's bringing down apostate Jerusalem. In other words, the apostate leadership of Christianity is coming. It's going down. And not for good, and they shall be accomplished before thee in that day. But I will deliver thee in that day, says the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely save thee. Thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be up for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, says the Lord. Yep, he took his life in his hands to stick up for Jeremiah. And another word that's come to us quite often, Haggai 2, 18 through 23. Consider, I pray you, from this day and backward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Yes, they were living under a curse, because all they wanted to do was serve their flesh, serve their own interests and not God's, and he rebuked them. In verse 19, it says, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth from this day. But from this day I will bless you. In other words, they started working on the foundation, right? And God started blessing them. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that they have no interest to work to promote the kingdom of God. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. That's what Jesus said. And verse 20 says, and the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel means born from Babylon, because he was the leader that came out of Babylon to lead God's people, and he represents the man-child, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. We got a shaking coming. Because the Bible says, yet once more will I shake the heavens and the earth. Earthquakes. Earthquakes. Our Sandy had a dream recently about earthquakes starting on the East Coast and going to the West Coast. And most of y'all haven't heard that one, I don't think. I'm going to share it with you, though. I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Yes, this is what the coming of the man-child is going to do. It's going to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. That's an interesting statement. You know, he's comparing the fall of Babylon to the Egyptians' death in the Red Sea just before the wilderness tribulation. Very clearly, there's only one slight difference. He may be explaining what the Red Sea is all about when he says, every one by the sword of his brother. Now, that's not what happened at the Red Sea, but the representation of the waters, which are the nations, tribes, and tongues, swallowing up Pharaoh, could be what he's talking about here, you know. So it's a further explanation of putting parables together. So the Egyptians died in the Red Sea just before the wilderness tribulation. And this is what's going to happen to this Babylon that we're looking at out there. It's an entity that's taken captive the United States. And I said that for years, that Babylon is an entity that can be completely destroyed without destroying the United States. It's an entity in the United States. It's a Babylonish entity. It's a principality ruling over the United States through Satanism, you know, from the highest parts of our government and the elite and the shadow government behind them, you know. So, in that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and shall make thee a signet. He was a sign. He was a signet, which was a signet, of course, was a sign of authority. You know, like Mordecai, the man-child, who, when Haman hung himself, like Judas did, and like the faction do, when he hung himself, basically, with his own hands, he ended up hung on the gallows that he had made for Mordecai. God took, or the King of Kings took the signet away from Haman and gave it to Mordecai. He gave him authority to now, he was in the throne now, so to speak. For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. Yes, the Lord chosen him. Then we received this word concerning them being taken down and blinded in a tumult. And as you can tell, literally that's not what these things are talking about. But when you see all the principles of what the Lord has already told you is going to happen in a text, just take what you can see there and, you know, and let it build upon what you know that the Lord's told you, you know. Zechariah 14 and 12 and 13 says, and this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Now we know the northern army fought against Jerusalem. We know that Sennacherib's army fought against Jerusalem. We know on and on. And so, in this case, he's defending Jerusalem. This must be the righteous Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Well, you can see how spiritually that's happening. They're dying. On their feet, they're dying. They don't have any conscience of God, and they're dying. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes. There it is. Lost their eyes. Lost their discernment. Lost their seeing. Unable to see correctly, seeing things totally falsely, shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And guess what? They shall lay hold, every one, on the hand of his neighbor, on the hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Let me tell you a good prayer to pray, because we're seeing it come to pass. Pray that they rat on one another. It's happening. I'm talking about the Babylonish captors. You know, their sins are many and evil, and they are covering themselves. There's no honor among thieves and liars, right? So tumult, of course, means confusion, disorder, turmoil, chaos, turbulence, mayhem, upheaval, outbreak, trouble. So the next day we got verses about this tumult. We weren't asking for them, but we got the verses by faith at random. And I'll just share this with you. I think Missy got this one. Amos 2, 1 through 3. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, Moab, of course, was kinfolk of Israel, and they factioned against them. They hated them. They fought with them, just like the Edomites did. Yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. There was a faction in the midst of the faction here. Edom and Moab generally joined against Israel. Now, a faction had come in their midst, and this is what's happening in the deep state even as we speak. And I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kerioth, and Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet. And I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, because that's what they do. They judge, they criticize, they slander, they don't forgive, which is judging. And you, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again, the Bible says. And will slay all the princes thereof with him, says the Lord. So the faction will die with a tumult. And this death will be physical for some. Various judgments are coming for the faction to bring the elect among them to repentance, which is also a spiritual death to self, right? And deliverance from those demons. And we're praying for our brethren. We have from the very beginning that they will escape captivity, right? And Don Laughlin got this. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. But there shall be no gloom to her that was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he hath made it glorious by way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. You'll notice that this was quoted in the New Testament concerning Jesus and his coming. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That was spoken of the man-child's coming. So here you have the man-child's coming in this text. And people who were in darkness are going to see a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Oh, glory be to God. Now, the devil is furiously trying to stop the light. Which is the light? What is the light? It's the truth. Trying to destroy the light. Trying to destroy the truth. Can't do it. But they do their best. You know what I mean? Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased their joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken in the day as in the day of Midian. Yes, the persecutors, the oppressors will be broken. For all the armor of the armed man in tumult. Tell me, how many times did we run across tumult? Well, we came across these the day after we got that word about the tumult. Okay. For all the armor of the armed man in the tumult. I think all but one of them came the next day, actually. And the garments rolled in blood shall be for burning, for fuel of fire. So, in this tumult, the man-child comes. Notice. Not only what we just mentioned about the people in likeness in darkness saw a great light, but also this verse right here. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. We know that this is Jesus, but Jesus is being born in the man-child. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Oh, gosh. You know, this time he will be great unto the end of the earth, the scripture says. And it says, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth and forever. And the zeal of the Lord will perform this. How awesome. And Leon got Jeremiah 3:18 through 25, verse 23, so where he put his finger right in the middle of it. And in those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. And they shall come together out of the land of the north, which was their beast captivity, to the land that I gave for an inheritance unto your fathers. And I said, how I will put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage or inheritance of the host of the nations. And I said, you shall call me my father. He didn't say you'd give him all these Hebrew names, folks. He did not say that. He said, you shall call me my father. When they came out of captivity, they called him my father. Not holy names that God rejected when he had them write the original in Greek in the New Testament. Departed from the Hebrew Old Testament, and that we have a proof of that because the perfect numeric pattern is in the Greek. It's not in any Hebrew copy. So, and that's what he says. Relationship here. Father and child relationship here. Not impersonal names. And shall not turn away from following me. Amen. Surely as a wife treacherously departeth from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. A voice is heard in the bare heights, the weeping and the supplications of the children of Israel, because they have perverted their way. It's a miserable thing to walk away from God. And that's what the church has done. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we are come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is the help that is looking from the hills. The tumult upon the mountains. Yeah, the tumult. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. But the shameful thing hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth. It certainly has. And their flocks and their herds and their sons and their daughters. It certainly has. And let us lie down in our shame, and let our confusion cover us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. This is why the judgment is coming. Now, good news. This judgment is going to bring about a change of heart. I'm calling it the return. And this was given to Eve Brast on 8:18. Yes, indeed. Y'all remember that date, right? Some people mistook what we were saying in our last meeting about the anointing. One person contacted me and said, well, what about the anointing? They asked me about it. I said, no, you're talking about the wrong anointing. This is the anointing for death and burial. You remember how she anointed Jesus' feet, and in another place she anointed his head. And it was for burial. Burial comes before resurrection life. That resurrection life is the anointing that we talk about the most often, because it's the catching up to the throne of the man-child. But before that, you have to have an anointing to die by, right? That's what this was talking about, in case somebody missed it out there. Some have, but. And it was 8:18, 8:88, right? The number of Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me, he said, right? So, anyway, the return. I dreamed this morning that our local UBM assembly was meeting on an upper floor of an apartment building. apartment buildings represent churches because it's many houses builded together, as Paul called it in Ephesians, right? And it's the upper floor because it's heavenly. It's the highest. The living room was smaller than the Shaw's, and there was a small room to the right of the long entryway that was a kitchenette. We were all sitting in a large circle, singing a cappella praises to the Lord. David was sitting along the wall where the entryway led into the living room. Michael was on his left, and I was on his right, and I was wearing a beautiful dress with a floral pattern on it. And I believe this represents the fruit and the beauty of being born by the corporate bride body. Okay, putting on those beautiful garments, right? But I was very weak and thin from fighting a long illness. And what we discovered this was representing the corporate bride fighting off the faction infection as a corporate body. I couldn't stand or move around for long before I had to sit down and rest. David and Michael had to help me by each holding my arms. And of course, that's what David and Michael does with the bride, you know, is hold the arms for support during this tribulation. And when I needed to stand or walk, I was slowly regaining my strength day by day. And she was regaining her strength, and guess what was coming to an end? The faction. That's why she was gaining strength day by day. Suddenly, the last came through the front door. That is the last of the factious leaders. And he was encouraging others who had factioned away to enter also. The others had followed him to the door but wouldn't enter. Now, I want you to notice this. We had a revelation already concerning this, that when the factious come back, they're not going to have their former glory. They have missed something. They failed, and they're going to miss something. The overwhelming majority of them, I don't say all, but listen to this, okay? So the others followed him to the door but wouldn't enter. And what the Lord spoke to me when I got here is the outer court of God's house or his temple. If you notice in the book of Revelation, those that are in the outer court are given to be trampled under the foot of nations. So in other words, the beast is going to crucify them. Okay. And a couple of men came right inside the door, but were fearful to come any further. So they came into the holy place, the outer court. That's what people wouldn't come in the door. These came barely in the door. They came into the holy place, but were content to be right there, to just stay there. The factious leader himself came all the way up to the threshold of the entryway where the living room began, but wasn't interested in joining our praise and worship. So he didn't quite enter in. He came up to the threshold, but he did not enter in to the place where the body was, which is representative of the bride. So not going to return to the bride in the Holy of Holies, but is content to apprehend a lesser degree, the holy place. See, God is the one that's able to make us go all the way. And if we spend a lot of time going back and forth and falling away and living in sin, we lose our time. We run out of time, you see. But he was concerned more about undoing some of the damage that he'd caused by factioning some away from the truth. He was trying to get them to come through the door. The door being Jesus, right? He kept gesturing to the two men with an inviting motion to come into the entryway further. But they only stood right inside the door. So we've already been told many times that those who fail the love test of faction or they may return, but most not to their previous position. And we got confirmations of that I'm not quite able to share with you today. He had a white polo shirt on and tan shorts. He had an old baby blanket the size of a large shawl draped around his shoulders. It had a silk edge sewn all the way around it in pink and baby blue stripes. So, since it was from the 1970s, it was not as white as it used to be, and it was faded because of many washings. So, he has fallen away from his new birth. That's what this baby thing is all about. He fell away from his new birth many times and had many washings to try to restore it. So that was the reason it was faded. Okay. His right hand clutched it at his neck like he didn't want it to fall off him. In other words, he didn't want to lose his salvation again. So you think it makes you very careful when you've stumbled and caused others to stumble and are entitled to a lot of judgment. It makes you want to be more careful. And I was shocked to see him, and with that blanket around his shoulders, I said, "Hey everyone, he's here." And I wanted to go over and give him a hug, so David and Michael helped me over to him. But one brother was angry and alarmed and said, "He's not for real. He's just here to spy on us and cause us more damage. Don't touch him." Well, you know, if after somebody's fallen over and over again, it's right to be careful and suspicious, I would say. And David and Michael said, "Well, we asked the Lord if it was okay for him to come, and we got two heads for yes." I didn't know what to believe, so I didn't hug him. I decided to go to the kitchenette and wash the dishes. So David and Michael helped me to the counter, and I was able to lean against it for support so I could wash them. Yep, we have to make sure that our food is clean. Amen. And when I came back out and sat down, light was shining through the windows, and Robin was sitting at the 12 o'clock position and was directing a cappella singing and said, "Let's all sing Silver Bells. We'll sing it 6 times. God's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? And David was at the 6 o'clock position, sitting in a circle around the room, okay? Well, now let's think about this. Okay, which is 6 times around for the minute hand and 6 moves for the hour hand. So 6 times ends up at David. If you start at 12, which is a starting point, right? The end of AM and the beginning of PM, right? You end up at David after 6 times. He said, "Let's all sing Silver Bells. We'll sing it 6 times. So David and Michael helped me back up, and we all held hands and walked in a circular clockwise direction. There's a clock again. Times. Clockwise direction. And it's time going forward because we were going in that direction, right? We sang Silver Bells, Silver Bells, it's Christmas time in the city, etc. The city meaning the people of God, the bride, right? The city of Jerusalem. So notice that 6 times ended up at David. She said, "I became tired and had to go sit down," and I thought, "Christmas time?" I guess that would be a funny question in our assembly, because none of us do Christmas, so it must be timing or spiritual, right? 12 is the end of AM, beginning of PM. The standard here is 6 times. And could it be 6 times 1 hour? because, you know, our hand moves six times, right? But what does an hour represent? Well, we know it represents some time leading up to the David. Because the next thing in Revelation was, then there was a couch behind the kitchenette in a little room, and David was sitting with a blue shirt on and blue socks, meaning dressed in heavenly apparel, right? And a baby diaper on. She laughed when she told me this. I did too. So David had a baby diaper on. The coming of, I believe this means, the coming of the born from above, David, man, child, after the period of time, whatever that period of time is. You notice that God's really trying to hide that period of time from us, right? In fact, there may be two things in the scriptures that God won't reveal. That is the beginning of the tribulation until it starts, and the coming of the man-child, which is very close to that time too. So it just may be that the Lord is, you know, hiding it. So she said, I asked for a general text that covers this dream, and my finger was on Psalm 50:11. And I know all the birds of the mountains, he said. And so it's 1 through 23 that she got. Psalm 50, 1 through 23. And by the way, this is the middle of the text that well describes this dream. Yeah. Psalm 50, 1 through 23. The mighty one God, Jehovah, hath spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. There's that dress, right? And God hath shined forth. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined forth. Our God cometh and doth not keep silence. A fire devoureth before him. Remember, his recompense is before him and his reward is with him. Right? Remember that? Okay. A fire devoureth before him, and it is very tempestuous round about him. He calleth to the heavens above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Yes, he is. He is the judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify unto thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, and thy burnt offerings are continually before me. I will take no bullock out of the house, thy house, nor he goats out of thy fields, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. He's got lots of wild beasts, you know. He calls them beasts, doesn't he? These kingdoms of lost mankind. And individuals, too. Man is but a beast, so individuals are beasts, too. If they're not born from above, if they're walking demon-possessed, if they're coming against God's people, trying to destroy his work, and so on and so forth. These are beasts. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God the sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. There it is. And thou shalt glorify me. He's going to deliver the righteous out of trouble. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Yep, that's common among faction. They declare the statutes, they don't obey them, and they don't even think they have to. And that thou hast taken my covenant in thy mouth. In other words, acting as though they're Christians, right? Seeing thou hatest instruction,
and castest my words behind thee. And when thou sawest a thief, thou consentest with him. Yep. And hast been partaker with adulterers. Yep. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Yep. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Yep. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Yep. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth the sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his way aright will I show the salvation of God. Yep. And now here's Anna Stewart's revelation of the same thing, the return. Except hers was back on 5/30/18. We also, by the way, Sandy was saying that she had a word that this particular person was not going to return. And you know what? They did not come into the living room. They stopped short. So she was right, and they were right. Here's Anna's. I dreamed the factious leader had returned and wanted to try to do right by helping with the ministry again. And David was unsure about allowing that. As I told you, you should be a little suspicious after you do it so many times, right? And asked the Lord for a word. I always have asked the Lord for a word, by the way. He received something about dividing the work into thirds. And so David gave him a third of the work. It was a safe job, with no passwords to anything or anything like that, and it was a humble, lowly job. He no longer had the glory that he had doing the work he once did, which is in agreement with Eve's dream, you know, not reaching into the same place as the bride. His job was to take care of a third of the piece of tilled land. Now, you know, we've read from the scriptures that God's husbandry, the Greek word there is tilled land. We are God's tilled land. We are to receive the seed and bring forth fruit, Hebrews 6 says. And if we bring forth thorns and thistles, we're nigh unto a curse whose end is to be burned. So we are the land, you see. And the promises are what causes us to conquer this land and rule over this land and walk on this land and so on. That's our inheritance. And I believe the one-third represents those who this brother was working to bring into the higher calling, as in Eve's dream above. And what comes to mind is... Anna said, what comes to mind is that there is still hope for him to bear fruit and that he has lost his chance for the higher calling. Yes, she received that back in 5:30. And when he had returned, he sat there silently looking down, a lot like he was when he first got here the last time. But this time there was a strong, tangible heaviness on him, a sort of remorse and deep regret. A few people gave him hugs and told him they were glad that he was back, but it was like he couldn't say anything. A few tears were running down his cheeks. I wanted to go over and hug him, too, but I was waiting for him to look at me so I would know if he wanted a hug. He just looked down, though, and couldn't make eye contact with me, and I knew he was ashamed and felt like he couldn't look at me because of hurting me by leaving. Well, you know, a recurring theme in the words that we have received about the faction is shame. It keeps popping up. It's a humbling experience that a person experiences when delivered from spirits to find out what they have done, because they don't know what they've done. As Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, he meant that, and we've experienced that. They don't know it. They have no conscience. They don't know what they do. And this shame helps to deliver those who are in rejection and pride and faction. We keep getting the Apostle Paul's experience of persecuting the saints, but through shame, he worked harder than the rest of the apostles to save many people. And we keep getting that context. And by the way, here's when she asked for a word for the dream, she got a context from Paul. She said, I asked for the Lord for a word concerning the dream, and got Ephesians 1, 15 through 20 with my finger on 15. So here it is. For this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which is among you, and the love which you show towards all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul appreciated that because he was on the other side. You understand what I'm talking about? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Okay, so it's better than blindness, right? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Yeah, what do we hope for? And what hope does his promises give us of making it? Right? What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We keep coming back to that. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, so we got many more revelations concerning this return and also the fall of the faction. And when I say the fall, I'm talking about the fact that those spirits are conquered, they're driven out, and the people are delivered from captivity. This is our prayers. We don't want to see any of them lost. We've known that the Lord has shown us that some will be lost, and that some will die, and that a smaller portion will return to the Lord, not necessarily to us. The Lord has shown us that, but they will return to the Lord. And so we praise God for that, because that's what we've been praying for. We would like to see all of them returned, and we ask you to pray too. That the Lord will deliver, set free in Jesus' name. Because we love all these people. We knew them before, of course, this being turned over to this reprobate mind, that we knew them. You know, we were friends with them. Suddenly they became angry. We never threw anybody out. Did you know that? You don't have to. When that spirit comes in, they can't stand to be in your midst. They can't stand you either. This is a way the Lord uses to separate them because of their sin. It's always because of sin. Always. Okay. So, Father, you're a good God, a gracious God, a merciful God, and we ask you to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think concerning our brethren who have gone into captivity and have done much damage to your kingdom, your people. And we ask you, Lord, that you hold not this into their account, that you draw them, grant them repentance, turn their hearts towards you, Lord. We ask that you do this, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know judgment is coming. You've told us over and over, plagues are coming, right? We do believe that the Lord has shown us that the deep state is going to use ISIS and other groups like that to distribute this stuff, and that you're going to direct it when it is distributed. Like the Red Sea, you know, they went out, they were free from Egypt, they found their liberty, but then Egypt came marching after them at the Red Sea. So basically, this escape has happened, and now we're seeing Egypt march after them. And as you can see, Babylon and Egypt are side-by-side parables that the Lord is equating one to another. And so they're trying to bring us back into the fold here under captivity. If they were able to do it at this time, they will destroy Christianity. So you need to keep praying, saints. You need to keep praying. The battle isn't won yet. It will be, because God is going to raise up people to pray and exercise authority and to cast down the forces of darkness, etc. It's going to happen. I'm sure of it. I believe Trump's going to have a second term. And but you must keep on fighting. The thing now, of course, is that there's no freedom of speech anymore, because the tech giants have basically broken every law in the book, and nobody's done anything about it. So you can do something about it. They are cutting out basically the conservative voice out there, which is causing this great revival in politics, and making a more comfortable place for us to live and to spread the gospel and to grow up and to come into New Testament shape, I would say, because we're a long ways from that at the moment. And so he's bought time. One of our sisters saw Trump giving away timepieces, you know, clocks, and that's what he's giving us, time, which we need right now. And so keep on praying. Pray down the tech giants. Pray that that the law catches up to them, or the Lord catches up to them, or whatever, in order to put new leadership in there and overthrow these people that are just deep state, you know, hands, right? And Father, we just put our trust in you. We send forth the angels to do just that, to bring down these tech giants that are just a part of the deep state, criminal, and can't see anything conservative, don't think that there is a right to have a right-wing party at all. They plan to do away with it. It wouldn't matter if it was Trump or anybody else. They're demon-possessed, and they now they've been shown for what they are to most Americans, I would say. And so we ask you, Lord, to continue this, that nothing that can be hidden there will be, and also that they turn their hand against one another and rat on one another, and we know you're going to do that too. We thank you, Lord, for letting their own sword bring them down, fighting against their own brethren. They're all criminals. They're only in it for selfish purposes, so it's easy to, you know, it's easy to cause them to come against one another. It's like the Jehoshaphat situation, which we've also received about these end times, you know, how Jehoshaphat and his people, you know, waited upon the Lord. The Lord told them, this is not your battle, it's my battle. You just go out there praising God, put the praisers first. And Judah first, which means praise, put the praisers out there first. And I'll do the rest. And of course, he did. So they came at him with three different armies, which ended up killing each other off, which is just like the Red Sea parallel to Babylon that we just looked at. They are going to take each other down. Thank you, Father. And they're going to probably take down some of the elite, or all of them, who knows. You know, this is a temporary thing, because after Cyrus comes another kingdom, right? Cyrus conquered Babylon, but after Cyrus came another kingdom. And that, in history, of course, it was the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great. Yes. And I don't know if it'll be the Alexander revelation we have on the site, which we received a couple of years ago about Obama and Alexander the Great, whether he's going to have a comeback or what. I do believe he might end up in jail, and along with Hillary. And Father, we just thank you that you love justice, Lord. You love justice. These people have murdered their way to the top and killed as many Christians along the way as they could throughout the Middle East and everywhere, you know. So, Lord, we're asking you for justice. Thank you for your great mercy, Lord. Thank you for granting grace to your people to pray and to do spiritual warfare and to take seriously what's going on right now. They're trying to turn the midterm elections. And, of course, this is a very important time. They're trying to turn public opinion in order to turn the midterm elections. So, Father, we ask you, just like we prayed the last time when Trump went in there and everybody said he wouldn't, but they were cheating, and you stopped the cheating, and you put Trump in there because everybody cried out to you. And once again, Lord, we cry out to you. We ask you to swing the country right. Swing it hard right. And the rhinos, remove the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. They're part of the same bunch. And it's obvious because they've gone crazy. When people go crazy with demons, it means they've been eating at the same trough, you know. So, yep. So they're all into this nasty stuff that is being brought down slowly, too slowly. Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that all this perversion is brought to an end, Father, that you will cause it to be crumbled, cause it to people to be caught. I mean, not just the lowly footmen, but the people at the top, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you bring them down, that they be captured, that they what they have done be known. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Lord, because we believe. You said all things whatsoever we pray and ask for, believe we received them, and we shall have them. And whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Amen. And we bind the ability and of the deep state shadow government to from being able to bring to pass their purposes. Lord, we thank you that you're going to use what they do for your purposes. And just as Pharaoh was headed to the Red Sea to destroy the people of God, that was totally turned around, and Pharaoh and his people got destroyed. Just as the northern army came against Jerusalem in Joel chapter 2 to destroy it, they were overwhelmingly in the majority. It was they that got destroyed. Just as you destroyed Sennacherib's mighty men that came against Jerusalem, their plans were thwarted. So, Lord, we thwart all of the plans of the wicked, both in the political realm and in the spiritual realm. It's the same demons. It's the same exact demons. So we thwart those plans. We cast them down. We thank you, Lord, that you are coming to save the day, that you are coming in your man-child body, and you're going to set things right. You're also going to set the church in order, just as Jesus did. by raising up apostles, who therefore raised up the fivefold ministry and set things in order. Lord, we need that order. We're thanking you for giving us the time to get the church in that order, and so that the church can also recognize that their apostate leaders don't know what they're doing and are totally corrupt, and that they need this new leadership, this new reformer leadership that's going to bring them into the wilderness. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this time of grace that we're coming to, as you've told us over and over again, a time of blessing for the bride, gifts for the bride, gifts out of heaven for the bride, while much of the church instead goes into captivity and basically gets the same treatment that the bride has gotten. So thank you, Father. You always know best. So many of your people end up praying against you because they don't walk with you. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And they're not hearing from you good, and they don't have good spiritual discernment. So, Lord, we're asking you, Father, that your people would seek that treasure. Give them a hunger for that treasure, Lord, that you've hidden, that our forefathers hid in that word. Give them a hunger for this, Lord. Let their tilled land be sown with good seed, Lord. The seeds that they've received so far has brought forth weeds, thorn bushes, all of these things that you said were nigh unto a curse and judgment to be burned. So we're asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, grant repentance. Grant a wave of repentance, Lord. Send revival, a wave of revival, Lord, across this land. And make your people one, Lord. One with you, one with each other. Lord, let them see, let your people see, Lord, that they need the unity of the Spirit. And not to worry so much about all the nitpicking things that they use to divide one another. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, have mercy, send forth your grace upon your people, and deliver us from evil. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Lord, thank you for raising up all around this world an anointed people, as is your bride and as is your man-child. Thank you for raising up an anointed people with signs and wonders and miracles. This always makes things happen a lot quicker, because your word says you confirm your word with signs and wonders following. Yes, Lord, we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the mighty signs and wonders that you have done and are doing and will do. Thank you, Lord, for your people digging down deep and finding those treasures that will set the captives free. This is Matt's dream. It's way down there. It's even a foundational thing. Lord, people don't know that casting out devils and healing the sick and raising the dead are foundational things. They're not supergroup stuff. You know, they're just foundational things. It's something that every Christian can do. These signs will accompany them that believe. So all we need is believers to find these treasures, exercise faith, exercise spiritual warfare, and conquer the enemies. It's all we need, Lord. Lord, we ask, and we know you got it coming. We know it's on the way. We ask for this in Jesus' name. We ask for you to set the captives free. Let us come into unity that we might fight the beast and the harlot. And the last enemies that have to be conquered before you come. And thank you, Father, that you are coming. And some people are kind of mixed up about it. of how you're coming. And I've even seen words from the pre-tribbers that were correct words. They just didn't understand how you were coming. And you're speaking to them, and you're molding them, and you're turning some of them. And we thank you for that, Lord. But we know you're coming. And when you came the first time to the church, they didn't recognize you because they didn't want you to come that way. And the Pharisees, of course, wanted you to come with approval for their work in what they called the kingdom. But when you came, you were against them. And so they turned against you. And that's the normal way of factions. If you correct them, they will turn against you. And especially when they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. And so, Lord, we ask you for your mercy and your grace among your people to recognize the difference between the wicked and the righteous. Discernment, Lord, that's even beyond seeing and hearing. It's a smell. The people that don't pass the smell test are the ones we have to be careful of. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for pouring forth of your Spirit in this world, even now, Lord. Let your people go forth and pray and exercise authority, not necessarily bringing everybody to the pastors or anybody else to be prayed for, but to do it themselves. This is where this revival is going to start. It's going to be out on the street, and it's going to be through ordinary people, what people would consider ordinary people. They're anything but ordinary, but looking from the outside, they look like ordinary people. So we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, hear our prayers, our calls for our brethren to be set free from these captivities that they're in. And thank you for the promises that we've received today for just that. Because I'm sure that the symbolism there is showing us that that's what's happening. That's what's going to happen. Thank you so much, Father. Please put your protection around about Trump and his cabinet. And the whistleblowers and the people who are revealing the secrets of the deep state, they can't kill everybody. So we just ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to protect these people, Lord. Give them your grace to be able to say what they need to say. And Father, we cast down the power of the enemy against them. Against those that are doing the fighting on the front lines, Lord, we cast down the power of the enemy. We forbid it. We bind the demons behind it. We bind the demons of witchcraft, of Satanism, of child trafficking, of all these things that these evil people are doing. And Lord, we've discovered that most of the people in the faction have a problem with lust, fornication, lying, twisting and perverting things. And Lord, we just ask you in Jesus' name to deliver them from these evil spirits. We thank you, Father, for your power, your authority, and your anointing to cast all this down in the name of Jesus. And Father, we love you so much, Lord. We ask that we be able to hear your voice, receive your anointings. We had a local anointing service last week, and it was wonderful. We did the anointing for death and burial, and prayed for the gifts to be released and the blessings to be released, and thank you, Lord, for what you did in that service. It was just awesome. Thank you for the healings that we saw. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace being poured out upon your people. Lord,
Reveal yourself to your people who are in places where they never hear of the things that we're talking about, that normal Christianity should just be taking for granted. I mean, honestly, normal Christianity they know nothing about. We ask, Lord, that you do something. We ask that you, right in the middle of these apostate institutions, that you bring forth fruit. That there are people even now, they're reading their Bible and they're questioning, why aren't we doing this? I know this still happens. I found out from my neighbor. They did this, they did that. You know, Lord, reveal to your people what's going on, that we are returning, that this is the time of the latter rain, the former rain which Joel spoke about, and the latter rain, you know, where people spoke in tongues and prophesied and had dreams and visions and so on and so forth. Lord, here we are, the former rain, and the latter rain is now coming, and they should be expecting these same signs, wonders, and miracles. They're just not reading their Bible, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name, open their understanding, grant grace, grant discernment. Deliver your people, Lord God. Lay a great foundation out there, Father, of leadership for the people to come and to listen. And let there be a mighty move of your John the Baptist repentance across the land, the spirit of repentance. Lord, I believe that this spirit of repentance may come in these judgments ahead. That people are going to actually be convicted and repent of their useless, worthless life. Seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. Yes, Lord, all these things. Lord, as you taught me many years ago, Lord, a person can make a very good living just going after the Lord, never asking for money, never seeking money, just seeking first the kingdom. You said if they just seek first the kingdom, all these other things will be added unto them. All their needs will be met because they've learned a lesson, and that is to trust in you. Father, your people are afraid to step out and do and just seek first the kingdom. They're afraid that you might not take care of them. We ask that you deliver from an evil heart of unbelief, that you deliver from a double-minded thinking. We ask, Lord, that your word, your renewed mind, be brought to remembrance by the Holy Spirit, bringing to light the things that you have spoken, Lord, and encouraging faith, pouring forth your faith. Thank you, Father, so much for your great mercy upon your people. Thank you so much for delivering us from evil. Thank you, Lord, for using all this. Lord, you say give thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this faction. It has sanctified your people. It has sanctified the church. It has separated leaven from the midst of your people. And I believe that you're working even now upon factious people to bring them to repentance, so that you work in all things, Lord. Some people are bearing their cross in the faction, even though it's been put upon them, you know, and others are bearing the cross willingly. They're sacrificing willingly, as your Bible says. Thank you, Father, for you do all things well. You know how to get all the people there that we are praying for. Lord, put it in the heart of your people to pray, 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 believe, and see miracles and signs and wonders. See your provision for your people. Thank you for doing this, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we just give praise unto you, Lord, that you're going to direct everything. There will be no accidents in these coming judgments, Lord. Your hand will be in everything.
and it will be to conquer the enemies of your people. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Saints, please take time to pray every day. I know that people in this government are taking credit for things that they shouldn't. And that you're really behind this. You promised to do it. They've yet to learn that lesson. That it's you, it's not them. And Lord, if you could put the guts in these people to ask people to pray. Ask the people to pray. Turn their attention towards you. Lord, these conservative news sources that have been shut down by the evil tech industry people, we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would put in their heart to have people to pray. I even heard Alex Jones calling on people to pray the other day. I thought, ooh, that's good. He's getting somewhere now. Obviously, this tribulation here can do that to people because he can see what's coming. He doesn't have the benefit of knowing the things that we know, that the Lord is using all this for his glory, and he's going to bring to pass this 3.5 years of relative peace, unless I should say political peace, religious peace, not necessarily from natural judgments which are coming, because that also brings people to the Lord. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We know that physical judgments are coming, but you're going to change hearts and bring a great revival. We're so looking forward to it, Father. We are so ready to see it. We ask for your mercy, Lord, in our lives, that we cannot be distracted by the things of the world. But get ready. Get ready. Draw close. Pray. Exercise authority. Cast down the forces of darkness. Lord, we take time to do that. We cast down the forces of darkness that are using men to bring destruction to the United States, its people, its Christians, etc. Lord, this is so much better. You had such mercy. You had shown us years ago that they were raising up an army basically to destroy Christianity in America. And we, of course, reported that. And it got enough people to praying. I mean, all of the warnings out there from many different directions got enough people to praying that things were changed and you had mercy. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for drawing us unto yourself, causing us to run after you like the Shulamite in Song of Solomon. Run after you, Lord. Thank you for your love towards us, Lord. We just bathe in your love. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we too can love the way you do. Help us, Lord, to reach after the gold and silver of the precious life of Jesus Christ, of the treasure that you have laid up for all of your people. Please do this, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Cause us, Lord, to be able to reach out and go after this treasure and to value it, to love it, to hold it up to others. We ask you in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Well, thank you, saints. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for praying. Thank you for praying for the prayer warriors. Thank you for praying for people to stand up and pray and for people to do their job. And not necessarily to fight in the flesh with anyone, but to pray and let the principalities and powers be conquered by the angels of God. Right? Amen. We thank you for it, Lord. We're trusting you to bring it to pass, Lord God. Amen. Well, all right. Be blessed and keep us in your prayers. We love you. Bye-bye.